Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
On this edition of Daniel Britt and Friends, we're going to get to know better Aaron Wilburn, and maybe you know that name as a comedian, as a funny man. We're going to sort of do these things backwards. Instead of starting at the beginning of Aaron's career, we're going to start more or less at the present, because most people these days think of Aaron Wilburn as a comedian, and he is a great storyteller, a humorist. He finds the funniest things in everyday life, in Southern culture especially, and, just has a way of pointing it out that makes you laugh. So tell you what, this whole hour, we're going to do nothing but hear those stories. Then come back next week, and we'll dive into Aaron's more serious side as a songwriter, and a very accomplished songwriter at that. So let's jump right into the conversation with Aaron and relive some of these moments.
I don't know if you have trademarked the bless your heart story or what, but... I hear people who I don't know that they know of you talking about bless his heart. And I say, well, they had to have gotten that from Aaron.
You know, it's funny because I just got someone call me the other day to tell me that Joan Rivers is now doing a bless your heart routine. And along with there's a couple other guys in Hollywood on television that are doing bless your heart. And anyway, it's good to know that the word is out.
That's right.
And now they're blessing hearts in California. Whoopee!
You know, there's a lot of truth to that, though, because before I ever heard your routine, before I ever heard of Aaron Wilburn, I'm growing up in the South. I grew up there, too. My family, they always said that. Everybody sure. Always. So it's truth.
Well, I thought my heart was right behind my back pocket, because my grandmother, as I walked by, would pat me on the backside and say, bless his little heart. So I always thought my heart was back there, you know.
Now, it's kind of turned into a thing like that Jeff Foxworthy with the redneck. So let me ask, as time goes on, do you find more routine material that fits with that bless your heart as you go through airports, as you go to concerts?
Well, I'm seeing a lot more things these days that I'm thinking bless his heart. You know, I'm watching these people with baggy pants, you know, these kids walking by with the seat down between their knees, and I'm thinking, hey, you know what? It used to be that only us men over 50 wore the seat of our pants between our knees, but now everybody's doing it. So now I see all these kids with, pierced tongues and lips, and looks like they fell in a tackle box. And I'm thinking, why would they do that? You know, bless their hearts.
Really, really. And just pointing out, I mean, is that what humor, I think that's sometimes the funniest humor, is when you can find something that is so true to life, so honest. And I don't know how you do it, but somehow you just point it out. Look at what we're doing, or look at how we're dressing, or look at what we say. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that funny?
Well, see, if somebody walked up to you and just put a fish hook through your lip, you could have them put in jail for that. Yeah. But then then these kids go out and do it to themselves. Yeah. I'm thinking, hello. And I was afraid of pain, man. When Mom came at me with a peach tree limb, I am off and running. And now it's like they love pain or something. I don't know.
The story of the Alabama governor named Fobb, right?
Fobb James.
Yeah, yeah. And your question, who would look at a pretty baby
and say, oh, isn't he sweet? Let's name him Fobb.
It's things, I don't know how they come to you. Maybe you see life differently, but it's so funny and so true.
I tell folks everywhere I go, I'm from the South. And in the South, you can say or think anything you want to about people, as long as you say, bless his heart. I go up north and people walk up and say, oh, I know what that means. That means you're stupid. And I tell them, not in Bobo, Alabama. It can mean you're stupid, but bless your heart means a lot of things. It means compassion. She's so sick. Bless her heart. Or it can mean just pure love. That's the sweetest baby in the world. Bless his heart. Then if it looks like it's daddy, you add God love him. That takes care of it all. Not long ago, I was on an airplane. And actually, it wasn't on it, I was in it. Yeah, think about that for a minute. I'm already a nervous flyer. It scares me to fly that high and that fast on something that was built by the lowest bidder. My son is a jet pilot. He's just taken a job with Northwest Airlines. And he's always loved flying. I don't care that much about flying. And I'm already nervous when I get in the airplane. So not long ago, I was flying to California, and they seated me in the middle seat. I don't want the middle seat. I want the aisle seat. I don't know why, but when you're over 40, you don't need a reason why. If that's what you want, that's what you want. But they put me in the middle seat, and I'm thinking, I don't want to be here. Just like I don't want the toilet paper rolling down over the bottom. I want it rolling over the top. He just got elbowed right there. Yes, sirree. And some of y'all are thinking, what does it matter? Well, if it doesn't matter, let it roll over the top. That's what I say. We're going to start another denomination right here tonight. The over-the-toppers. Well, I'm seated in that middle seat. A lady comes in, sits down to my right. Lady sits to the left, the aisle seat, the one I wanted. But I was very kind. I looked at each of them. I smiled. I nodded. I spoke. No response. At that point, I knew in case of emergency, here's two I can't depend on. Somebody who will not smile at you will probably not help you find your flotation device. So I figured I may as well read. Picked the magazine out of the pouch in front of me. I had just started reading. Felt something on my left shoulder. Looked around. The lady to my left who would not speak to me was asleep on my shoulder. When I turn around, we are nose to nose. She's sleeping closer to me than my wife does. And she's sleeping with her eyes open, rolled back in her head. And her mouth was wide open. And I took one look at her and I thought, bless her heart. I'm not saying she was ugly, but she was just barely pretty. Then I looked at her left hand and I realized she's married. Bless his heart. And then it occurred to me, when a man wakes up early in the morning, turns over for the first look of the day, in slow motion turns over and takes a look and thinks, ooh, she had a rough night. If he'll just roll over and take another little nap, she'll wake up, get up, fix herself up, and she'll look good. But I feel sorry for women, because when a woman wakes up, looks at her husband, looks like sometime during the night, he fell out of the tallest, ugly tree in the forest and hit every limb on the way down, she may as well go ahead and get out of bed, because that's as good as it gets.
I'd like to sing a little song that I didn't write, but I rewrote it. John Anderson wrote this song. One day listening to it, I wondered what would John have written had he been writing a Christian song when he wrote Swingin'. So for those of you who have lost sleep wondering the same thing, I would like to sing to you what I think John would have written had he been writing from my perspective. There's a little girl in our neighborhood. Her name is Charlotte Johnson and she's really looking good. Her daddy is a preacher, Pentecostal to the bone. I went down to the church to see what was going on. They were swinging from the rafters. Now little Charlotte, she's as pretty as an angel when she smiles, but you ought to see her jumping pews and running down the aisles, swinging. Now you know I'm a Baptist and it scared me half to death. They were singing and shouting, they called it getting blessed. So I thought I'll stay longer just to see what I could see. Before I knew what happened, it was happening to me. I was swinging, swinging. The spirit started moving, I can't tell you how. All I know is they're calling me a Baptist-costal now. I'm swinging, I'm swinging, swinging.
Tell me how this has opened up doors for you, maybe even outside the Christian community.
The comedy, the humor, I don't call it, I don't know that I even call myself, I'm not a comedian, because I watch comedians and I don't do what comedians do, even in the Christian arena. I am not a comedian. I think I'm more of a storyteller, humorist, and I never set out to be any of that. I just started relating life as I see it, and it grew into this. And someone stuck one of my clips on YouTube a few months ago. Actually, I found out later it was a young lady in Colorado whom I will always be grateful to. And it's opened up a lot of things in the corporate world to me. I've done some Burger King corporate meetings. I've done a lot of Farm Bureau and insurance companies and banks and those kind of things. And it's so I'm hearing more and more people in the corporate world saying to me, we are tired of our families being embarrassed by rude language, and we want to bring someone in that we can trust not to embarrass families or say things that should not be said.
Do you ever find it hard to communicate with humor or comedy or whatever you call it? In this day and age, when we're talking about recession, when we've got a war going on, when the presidential election is causing people to stress out, is it ever hard to come in and be funny in a world that's maybe not so?
You know, I think people are hungrier for it in those tough times.
Yeah.
And actually, statistics show, by the way, statistics, just for the statistics, is the most mispronounced word in the English language, in case any of you would like to know that. And I just pronounced it correctly. Statistics. And statistics say that in times of war, in times of trouble, humor is at its peak.
Wow.
And now the hardest thing to do sometimes is to convey little political insights, because people will get angry faster over politics than they will over religion.
Wow. That's interesting.
And, you know, everybody's mad at the politicians these days. And I mean, you can watch CNN, you can watch Fox, and you'll see that people are distraught over politics. They're mad at Republicans. They're mad at Democrats. And I don't know, honestly, I don't know why people are mad at politicians. They haven't done anything.
Well, you heard the story about the guy that went to one of these third world countries and missionary, and he met a cannibal, and the cannibal said, "Well, listen, I'm going to spare you. I'm not going to cook you or eat you, but you have to come to a cannibal restaurant." And so they said, "Okay." So the preacher went, missionary went, and they looked at the menu and they said, "Fried missionary, $10. Broiled insurance agent, $15. Grilled doctor, $20. And poached politician for $38. The guy said, "My land, why is the politician so expensive? $38 just for, you can get them everywhere." He said, yeah, but have you ever tried to clean one of them up? But I would imagine
well,
you...
I guess you know why cannibals don't eat humorists.
Why?
They taste funny.
You ever find material with politics, though? Or is it just too touchy of an issue that you stay away from
it? I find humor with politics. And I'm just watching... But things that I think are funny, sometimes other people don't think is funny. And I remember the other day I mentioned the fact that we have all these politicians. I'm watching congressional hearings on television on baseball players and steroids, and that is probably a problem. I don't know. But anyway, I'm thinking, hold it. We've got gangs running in the streets, shooting each other, selling drugs, and killing innocent people. And you're on television wasting our time and money trying to clean up baseball. You know, hello. I have not seen anybody killed lately by a baseball bat. At a ball game. But anyway, so there you go.
My wife doesn't watch a lot of television, but when she does, she wants to cry. She wants to cry, and I want to watch somebody die. When I watch a movie, I want Clint Eastwood sticking a gun in somebody's face, saying, make my day. Now, you women are thinking, that's awful. That's the way God made us men, and that's the way we are. Well, a few weeks ago, my wife said, honey, there's a movie I want to see, but Sandy can't go. Then the next day, she said, I sure would like to see that movie, but I called Tina, and she can't go either. I knew what that meant. I was about to go to a movie I didn't want to see. We went to one of those chick flicks. It was okay, but it wasn't my cup of tea. You know, some like it cold, some like it hot. Some freeze while others smother. Then by some cruel, fatal plot, they marry one another. So here my wife is, she calls me in. She says, honey, Extreme Makeover's on. She loves to watch that show. She likes to cry while she watches it. And see, I like to watch the news because as long as there is news, I will have humor. I want to give y'all some news. Crown Point, Indiana. They have just reopened the case of a man's death in Crown Point, Indiana, who died from 32 blows to the head with a hammer. It was ruled originally a suicide. Now, y'all are thinking, surely not. Oh, yeah, you can't make this kind of stuff up. The coroner said, after looking at this situation, I believe it would have been impossible for a man to stay conscious long enough to kill himself with 32 blows to the head with a hammer. You think? I'm gonna give you the news, and then I'm gonna give you some news in here. Because in my head, there's some news. If they would just let me finish the news broadcast. Wilbur and Orville Wright built an airplane. Did what no man had ever done before. They flew. Wilbur died in his 40s. He was about 45 years old. Orville lived to be 76. Orville Wright died while repairing the doorbell at his house. That's the news. The news in here, men, it's okay to live on the edge. Take risks, fly, live a life of danger. But doing odd jobs around the house can kill you. Back to my wife watching Extreme Makeover. on that show about 2.5 years ago, there was a couple. I mean this in the kindest way, but he needed help. And I know I do too, but they haven't called me. And there was a young lady on the show that also needed help. My wife cried when she watched the show and how they transformed that man from less than ordinary to more than ordinary. Took a plain-looking young lady and made a beautiful woman out of her by the time they finished all the things they did to her. They met on that show, fell in love, and got married. That's the news. The news in here, they're probably going to have a baby. Y'all know what's going to happen. They're going to be walking through the mall. People are going to be looking at them. And they're going to be thinking, oh, what a nice couple. She's a pretty lady. He's a good-looking man. But that baby needs a makeover. In the news, back in February, on the news they announced at the University of Wisconsin, after a study they have done, they have now concluded there is an obesity virus. You can catch it. I've been on these diets for 2 years, and I found out it's not my fault. The next time I go home and my wife says, honey, you've gained some weight, I'm going to tell her it's not my fault. I was sitting in a restaurant eating gravy and biscuits. And apple butter. And jam and jelly. And some fat people came in and sat down next to me. I caught the virus. When Katrina hit, suddenly a story disappeared from the news. The story about mad cow disease in Canada. That's all you saw on the news. Mad cow disease in Canada. Mad cow disease. Mad cow disease. Katrina hit, the story disappeared because it was no longer important. At least not in the light of what was going on. But I kept up with it. So I want to give y'all a report of what happened. In the news, the government tracked that cow from Canada to the stall where she had been born in the state of Washington. Not only did they track that cow down, they tracked down every calf that cow has had. The government did that. That's the news. The news in here? We've got 10 million illegal aliens and they can't find a one of them. I say, give them each a cow. In Romania, in the news, in Romania, a lady gave birth to twins. But this was not an everyday kind of situation. This lady is 67 years old and gave birth to twins. One survived, one did not. But that woman is a new mommy. That's the news. The news in here, you know what's going to happen. One of her friends is going to come over. She's going to say, I came to see that baby. That lady's gonna say, well, let's wait till she cries. 30 minutes later, I'd sure love to see that baby. Let's wait till she cries. An hour later, her friend says, I've got to go, but I sure do want to see that baby. Well, let's wait till she cries. Why do we have to wait till she cries? Because I put her down somewhere and I can't remember where she's at.
This is Aaron Wilburn. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And one of the funniest things you do, and I guess in some of this you write, and you can tell me maybe some of this you don't write, but you take songs that are funny. And you, since you are a songwriter, since you play guitar, and since you sing, you put it all together. Some of them have been quite hilarious. Putting on the Dog, is that one you wrote? Or
That's one that I published. I published that particular song. And I got a lot of mileage and a lot of laughs out of that one. And you know, a lot of people sometimes they say, well, I don't know if I'd sing that. I don't appreciate. And let me just say to your listeners and to the folks who are listening to me right now, I get emails from men and women who are living with a husband and wife with terminal cancer or in depression, and they're saying, this made him laugh. This made her laugh. Thank you. And so therefore, I make no apologies for putting a smile on the face of people who are going through the toughest times of their lives. The other day, I got an email from a lady who told me that a friend of hers has a daughter in the hospital. Her legs were amputated at 17 after a car wreck. And her mom walks into the hospital room, and for the first time in weeks, the young lady is sitting up in bed laughing. And her mom asked, what in the world are you laughing at? And she said, this guy on YouTube. And she was listening to that crazy little song, If My Nose Was Running Money, I'd Blow It All On You. And then every once in a while, somebody will write me a letter. I can't believe that you're singing about your nose running. Well, let me tell you about that little song that some people don't like. It made a 17-year-old girl in a hospital room whose legs were amputated laugh again for the first time in weeks. Yeah. I make no apology for that.
Here's a little song that I hope will be an encouragement to you men if y'all are not good at finding gifts for your wife. I'm telling you, if you just open your eyes, it's right out there in front of you sometimes, and you don't see it. Here's a little song that I hope will open your eyes. Since all her friends have got one, now my wife wants one too. A knee-length fuzzy fur coat, nothing else will do. Said she looked real classy, make me proud of her. If I just break down and buy her a fur, well, it got me to thinking, how am I gonna swing that sort of deal? The Lord knows I can't afford it, and it's wrong to steal. But the problem finally solved itself like a bolt out of the blue. Jumped right out in front of me on Highway 22. Well, that big old German Shepherd, my car he did not see. Now he's in dog heaven, but his hide belongs to me. For 3 weeks in the basement, I worked late almost every night. It was mostly trial and error, but I finally got it right. I put it in a cardboard box, carried it upstairs to her. Oh, she was tickled pink to see that fur. Now she's got a fancy fur coat, reaches all the way to her knees. But she's been complaining lately, said her claws is full of fleas. She don't know old Fido is wrapped around her tight. She's putting on the dog when she goes out at night. Well, she's been depressed here lately since I backed out over the cat. But I think she'll feel much better when I give her this new fur hat.
I want to talk just a little bit about husbands and wives. Marriage is a strange situation. It's what I don't understand about women. What's so different about women and men is when women dream dreams, it's real. They'll wake up mad at you. You wake up and say, "Good morning, honey," and she'll say, "Don't honey me." What's wrong? You know what's wrong. No, I don't know. That woman that lives down the street, you know. No, honey, I don't know. Yes, you do. I dreamed about it last night, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. What did you dream, honey? You were making eyes at her. Honey, I didn't do that. Well, I saw it. And they'll get mad because what they dream is so real. My wife woke me up one morning. I was just lying there comatose. And my wife sat up in bed and said, "Kitty, kitty, 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 kitty." And she laid back down. And I sat up. And I asked, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Oh, no, I feel so stupid. I dreamed I called the cat." I said, "Honey, that was no dream. You called the cat." I think about things. I think about things like if they can send a man into outer space, why can't they make a toothpaste that doesn't stick to the porcelain in the sink? I ask myself questions like, why does the bug always hit the windshield right in front of your face? We were driving along the other day. My wife was driving. And the bug splattered right in front of her face. And she said, "That makes me so mad." And I said, "Honey, it didn't make his day." The amazing thing about husbands and wives is usually you never find two people just that look like they ought to be together and act like they ought to be together. It's like, are you believing he married her? They just don't go together. Some like it cold, some like it hot, some freeze while others smother. Then by some cruel, fatal plot, they marry one another. It's like opposites attract. And then there's the stages of marriage. Pass the honey, honey. Pass the sugar, sugar. Pass the tea bag. Men, why do they ask us questions like they ask us sometimes? "Honey, have you seen my blue dress?" "No, I haven't worn it lately, baby." Just this week, my wife asked me if I had seen her black dress pants. And then she wanted to know where her high heels were. I don't know how women walk on those things. I think coats and ties were invented, manufactured by a woman that was mad at her husband. And then I think he got back at her by inventing high heels. But I think about why they do the things they do. See, we worry about different things. Women, for instance, they worry about wrinkles and their hair getting gray. Men just mature. And you know you are going into that maturity stage when your knees buckle but your belt won't. My body keeps adjusting under middle age attack. My waistline's pushing forward, my hairline's pushing back. You know that you are going into that maturity stage when you have the uncontrollable desire, even the need, to take a business card and use it for a toothpick. Men don't worry so much about wrinkles and gray hair. We have other problems. Our hair stops growing on top of our head and starts growing out our ears and nose. Isn't it the truth? We've got a new baby at our house. She's just a few months old now, and Emily. Oh, they say they'll light up your life. They'll light up every light in the house about 2 o'clock in the morning is what they'll do. Babies are wonderful, though. We were concerned about names. We named her Emily Brooke. I can't understand it now. I'm from Alabama originally, and I kind of watch people in the news, and I listen to names. I can understand a mom and a dad naming their son John or Joe or, you know, but Newt. And then in Alabama, our governor there in Alabama is Fob. Now, who would look at a beautiful little baby and say, oh, let's name him Fob? Well, I guess it's none of my business. But it's a strange thing. And baby girls are wonderful. She's just taken my heart. She's stolen my heart. And in about 13 years, when the young man rings our doorbell and asks, is Emily here? I've got some scripture of my own that I'll quote to him. I'm going to look at him and I'm going to say, no man gets to the daughter except, first of all, he comes through the father. And if that doesn't do it, then I'm going to say, this is my daughter, and I love her enough to die for her. Do you? A little bit of a serious note. I wonder how many men, if a young man, 16, 17 years old, rang the doorbell and said, hi, you don't know me, and you don't know my parents, and you don't know where I live. But I'd like to take the car out for a while tonight if you just kind of give me the keys. What man in his right mind would say, sure, take it out for a spin. Here's $10 for gasoline while you're out. Isn't it amazing that we wouldn't turn our car keys over to a young man that we don't know? But we turn our daughters over for 3 or 4 hours and let them drive away with somebody we've never seen and have no idea. Maybe it's because daughters are not as important as cars. Ooh. Aaron, I thought you was going to be funny. Now you're meddling. Well, I'll get back to being funny then. I can't understand why we spend that much time and money raising something that's going to be ashamed to be seen with us in 13 years.
And when she is about 13 years old, she will no longer have the capacity nor the ability to say the word mother. Every time she starts to say M-O-T-H-E-R, it'll come out like mother. Honey, no, you can't go out tonight. Mother. Just hang in there. Stay with it. It'll be okay. They'll learn how to say mother again. And oh, kids. Heard the story of the little boy that ran to his mom and he was really crying. And she asked, "What's wrong, son?" And he said, "Daddy was hanging a picture and he hit his thumb with a hammer." And his mom said, "Well, quiet down, son. He'll be okay. Don't cry." And he just kept, ah. And finally his mom said, "Son, be quiet. You shouldn't be crying like this. You should have laughed." He said, "I did." And they say things. Parents say stuff. No wonder kids act like they don't hear us sometimes. We spend all that time thinking they're not listening. Well, listen to what we're saying to them. Don't you get smart.
No. Okay.
Adolescence is that time in a young man's life when he cannot believe that he'll ever be as dumb as his dad. My son had a birthday. He turned 20 back a few months ago. And on his 20th birthday, I said, "Jim, happy birthday and welcome to the 20s. And I said, "Son, you're no longer a teenager. Now you're as dumb as I am." But we say things to them like, "Come on or I'm going to leave you." We're not going to leave them. They know we're not going. "One more time. If I have to tell you one more time. Don't make me whip you." "Don't you worry. I won't make you. If you do, you'll do it on your own, Mama, because I won't make you." I was in a church the other day, in a church, and a lady had twins sitting on the front pew, and she shook them and sat them back down, and she said, "I'm going to jerk a knot in your tail." I thought, oh. See, what I don't understand is we spend the first 3 years of their life teaching them to talk and walk, and we spend the next 15 years telling them to sit down and be quiet. And we say real dumb things. And they make us say, "I'm sorry," brothers and sisters. Y'all ever have to say, "I'm sorry," and kiss or hug your brother or sister that you just had a fight with? And you still had claw marks on the side of your face, and your mama made you say, "I love you." Boy, it was from the heart, wasn't it? I love this sign. I saw a sign the other day, Ramada Inn, kids stay free on the weekend. And I thought, why don't we all get our kids together and just take them over and drop them off?
Aaron Wilburn on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. By the way, you can learn more about Aaron at aaronwilburn.com. And of course, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, Wilburn is W-I-L-B-U-R-N. And on the new project, it's called "Is That What You're Wearing?" And we'll hear some of these stories. But I've noticed just by looking over the track list that you've got a lot on here about food.
That's because I'm Baptist.
That's all you're allowed to do.
That's right. I can't go bowling.
So tell me, and you've lost some weight.
I have lost some weight. I've been on Weight Watchers, and I've lost 16 pounds, and I'm...
I feel like, believe it or not, I'm walking on air. Anyway,
Is it hard to make fun of eating a lot when people look at you now and think, well, you must not eat that much because you're wasting away?
It's funny because when I was, I've had to rethink that because I've kind of got a rule that I don't make jokes about anything that I cannot relate to.
Yeah.
And a lot of this, the jokes in the stores about dieting and weight were things that I told and came up with when my waistline was about 3 inches larger than it is now. In fact, I told somebody the other day the way I figured out how that I needed to lose weight, and anybody can do it, you walk out in the rain, and if nothing below the waist gets wet, you need to go on a diet. And so that's kind of where I was.
Yeah.
And see, I know I'm overweight, so I can talk about being overweight. I like food that I shouldn't eat. I found out one thing. I can have any food that I want, but I just can't swallow it. Just chew it and then spit it out. I was in California. My wife called me and said, honey, Weight Watchers meets next Wednesday. And I thought, what does that have to do with me? She proceeded to tell me. We fell in love, got married many years ago. She put me on a pedestal. 2 years ago, she took me off the pedestal and put me on Weight Watchers. Now, if you're on Weight Watchers, food has a point value. For instance, when I look at a piece of cake, I don't think, oh, here's a piece of cake. I think numbers. I look at a piece of cake and I'm thinking, ooh, 8 points. I get 20 points a day. That's 4 Krispy Kreme donuts. Oh, I love Krispy Kremes. Oh, I love Krispy Kremes. I like it when the hot sign's flashing, because then you don't have to chew. You just put it in your mouth and it melts and goes down and stays. When you turn 40, food becomes spiritual. It sticketh closer than a brother. I bought my clothes in the boys' department till I turned 40. Now I'm in Huskies. I was driving around Mobile, Alabama. I was down there for 3 days. We were on a tour. So I rent a car, and I'm driving down Government Boulevard. Looked up, and there was a Krispy Kreme place. And I thought, ooh. And then I realized I don't need any Krispy Kremes. Then, being raised Baptist, I had a spiritual thought. What if the Lord put that place there for me? And what if that Krispy Kreme place is my reward for eating healthy? So I decided if there's an open parking space right in front of Krispy Kreme, I will know it's the Lord. Y'all are not going to believe this. 5th time around the block, there was an open space. Before I was on the Weight Watchers, I tried the Atkins diet for 3 months. That one's not of the Lord. I was afraid I wasn't going to go to heaven. Every time I saw a baked potato, I lusted. They told me if I'd stay on that diet, I'd live longer. 3 months without bread and potatoes, I wondered who wants to live longer. And I thought, I'm losing weight, I'm going to look good, but it's going to kill me. And y'all know how we are in the South. At funerals, we say things that don't make a lick of sense. But we try to comfort others and comfort ourselves
by saying things like, oh, doesn't he look natural? Well, no, he's not breathing. And I knew what they was going to say at my funeral. His diet worked. You know what I want somebody to say at my funeral? I want somebody to walk up and say, look, he's moving. That would start a revival in a Baptist church. So I was trying to decide, am I going to stay on the Atkins diet or not? And then Dr. Atkins died. I mean no disrespect, but that settled it for me. All I could think of was the day before he died, he could have had a baked potato. So now my new motto is, pass the bread, Dr. Atkins is dead. If I can't eat, I want to watch somebody cook it. I like to watch the news, and I like to watch the Food Network. I know all the people on the Food Network by name, by first name. Emerald and Rachel. Alton, Paula. Paula Dean ain't never cooked nothing healthy. If she finishes the meal and it's healthy, she throws a stick of butter in.
The comedy is timeless, and I think, and you said it's opened up many doors. YouTube, I've noticed you're very prevalent on YouTube. And I wonder if these artists are upset at YouTube, you know, for people who put stuff on YouTube because maybe it cuts into sales. But for you, it's been a blessing, I
think. It has been an unbelievable blessing, yes.
So if businessmen and women are listening right now who are in a position of putting together events for corporate use.
And I go to church banquets.
Churches. Concerts.
I also do serious speaking as well. I usually lace it with the humor. But I'm available at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at Aaron Wilburn, WILBURN.com.
And today you make your home in Nashville, is that right?
That's correct, uh-huh.
And you and your wife, and you've got three kids and a grandbaby on the way.
A grandbaby on the way. Just wait. You think I'm stupid now? Ha, ha, ha. You haven't seen anything.
You'll have to go back and listen to some of your advice for parents and all of your material.
Hey, you throw all that out the window with grandchildren. None of that applies to grandparenthood. Songwriters in Nashville write unusual songs. Songs like, how can I miss you when you won't go away? If the phone doesn't ring, you'll know it's me. When you leave, walk out backwards so I'll think you're walking in. Sorry I made you cry, but at least your face is cleaner. If you won't leave me alone, I'll find someone who will. I'm so miserable without you, it's like having you here. If I'd shot you when I wanted to, I'd be out by now. I believe somebody from Alabama wrote this next one. Take me out to the cornfield, honey. I'll kiss you between the ears. The oil is all in Texas, but the dipsticks are in D.C. And my favorite. You ask me if I love you and if my love is true. Well, if I were a rich man, here's what I'd do. I'd buy you a diamond ring and a new fur coat or two. If my nose was running money, I'd blow it all on you. If my nose was running money, I'd blow it all on you. I'd buy you a Cadillac, a new Mercedes too. And I'd build you a mansion up on that mountaintop. If my nose was running money, but honey, it's not. If my nose was running money, you'd have anything you please. Anytime you wanted cash, all I'd have to do is sneeze. Honey, you'd win the lottery when I have a cold or flu. If my nose was running money, I'd blow it all on you. It's a booger of a problem I've got. I wish my nose was running money, but it's not. Well, I'd buy you a diamond ring, a new fur coat or two. If my nose was running money, I'd blow it all on you. Thank y'all very much. Thank you.
Aaron Wilburn. Hey, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Kind of a different program today. A lot of humor, but that's the way Aaron is known to a lot of people, a lot of the younger people, especially these days. But Aaron's history goes way on back in gospel music. And so next week, we're going to spend another hour with Aaron, and we're going to dive more into the serious side of this guy with songwriting. We'll talk about his history as being a musician on the road with the legendary Happy Goodman family, a lot of the big songs that he wrote for them, like What a Beautiful Day for the Lord to Come Again, also a song that they sang, That Sounds Like Home to Me, or He Said Peace later in the years. He wrote with the Gaithers, It's Beginning to Rain, and It Won't Rain Always, and the big song by Karen Beck and New River, 4 Days Late, among many others. So we'll hear those songs and the stories behind the songs. And you got to know by listening to today's program that Aaron is a storyteller. So he's going to keep you interested and intrigued for the whole hour. It's Daniel Britt and Friends. We'll see you back here next week. And in the meantime, check out the website, danielbritt.com, for more information, an upcoming schedule, and extended audio at danielbritt.com. Have a great week.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, each week Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.